Chapter 4. What was your home like in the early days? You had to move around so much. Sometimes you must have had a problem about a home and furniture. We are just getting settled here in Rochester, 1852. We have rented an old house for $175 a year. We have the press in the house. Were it not for this, we should have to pay $50 a year for office room. Hugh would smile, could you look in upon us and see our furniture. We have bought two old bedsteads for 25 cents each. My husband brought me home six old mismatched chairs, for which he paid $1, and soon he presented me with four more old chairs, without any seating, paid 62 cents for the lot. The frames were strong, and I have been seating them with drilling, strong, heavy cloth. Butter is so high we do not purchase it, neither can we afford potatoes. We use sauce in the place of butter, and turnips for potatoes. The cherry sauce was provided for us by Sister Harris. I'm sorry you had such a hard time. When you first moved to Battle Creek, what did you do? The brethren think we ought to have a little house put up. We pay now $1.50 per week for rent, and have scarcely any conveniences at that. Have to go a great distance for water, have no good shed for our wood. We put a few boards up at our own expense just to cover our wood. We shall make a beginning, cannot tell how we shall succeed. May the Lord guide us in all our undertakings, is my prayer. You must have been happy when you moved into your new house on Wood Street. Did you have time to enjoy it? Wednesday, January 5th, 1859. Thought of remaining at home to prepare for my journey. At noon, James said they needed help at the office. I went down to help them. While I was writing, Sister McLemuel came in. I must leave to talk with her. Jenny, Mother, and Willie came next, showed them the press. While I was folding, Sister Cornell came in and wished me to go down street to get some things. Walked down, got the things, returned to Brother Smith's for supper, then home. How about housework, sewing, cooking, gardening, and things like that? Did you have time for them? Thursday, January 6th, 1859. Made a cap and a vest for Edson. At night, am very weary. February 8th. Cut and made some caps for Mother. It may be the last time I shall have the privilege of making caps for her head, but my prayer is that she may wear a crown of glory in the kingdom of heaven. Friday, March 4th. Made two caps for my boys. Brother John Andrews came to this city last night. We have met today, and he took dinner with us. Wednesday, March 30th. Set out the raspberry bush. Went for strawberry plants. Got some currant bushes. April 11th. Spent most of the day making a garden for my children. Feel willing to make home as pleasant for them as I can, that home may be the pleasantest place of any to them. Friday, May 20th. Have cut out Johnny and Willie each a pair of pants from 3 yards of cloth. Have pieced Willie's considerably. Monday, June 6th. Attended meeting in the morning. It was the best meeting of all. At dinner, we had 35. Tuesday, June 7th. We were all much worn out. Friday, July 8th. We had much to do today. Dried half a bushel of cherries. Monday, October 10th. Was obliged to shut myself up to write. The house is full of company, but had no time to visit. Traveling in New York State. Sunday, October 7th, 1866. Duty seemed to demand I should go to your grandfather. I have prepared you, Edson, comfortable clothing for winter, which I send to you by Elder Loughborough. I hope they will give you as much pleasure in wearing them as I have taken pleasure in making them for you. I have sat up late and arisen early, before anyone was astir, to work upon them. Prayers that you may be clothed with Christ's righteousness are stitched into these garments. Traveling from Wright, Michigan to Greenville. Monday, January 27th, 1868. Arose at 4 o'clock. Left the comfortable home of Brother Root about 5 o'clock. Rode 5 miles to Brother Buck's. Made no further stop until we passed through Greenville. Received our mail and passed on to our home. Found no help. Prepared our own dinner. Brother Corliss had taken good care of everything, and we prize him much. Greenville, Michigan. Tuesday, January 28th. Brother Corliss helped me prepare breakfast. Everything we touched was frozen. All things in our cellar were frozen. We prepared frozen turnips and potatoes. After prayers, Brother Corliss went into the woods to get wood. I baked 8 pans of gems, swept rooms, washed dishes, helped Willie put snow in boiler, which requires many tubfuls. We have no well water or cistern. Got dinner for Willie and me. Just as we got through, my husband and Brother Andrews drove up. Had had no dinner. I started cooking again. Soon got them something to eat. Nearly all day has thus been spent, not a line written. I feel sad about this. Am exceedingly weary. Sunday, February 23rd. My husband spoke in the morning. I did not attend meeting. Wrote a part of the time and cooked gems and pudding for dinner. I spoke in afternoon. There was a crowded house. Tuesday, March 31st. I wrote quite steadily, prepared matter for printer. I went out in the afternoon for a change, and Sister Strong, Louisa, and myself picked up stones and helped to fill up the old cellar. Thursday, April 2nd. Cut out Willie a coat from a pair of his father's old pants. Didn't you get tired with so much to do? Greenville, Michigan. Sunday, April 5th, 1868. Brother Fargo took dinner with us, also Brother and Sister Noyce. Our table is always full. I would not have it otherwise. Tuesday, April 14th. After breakfast, rode to Greenville. Purchased a hat for Sonia, a very neat hat. Paid $1. We are having now quite a large family. If we only enjoy the blessing of God, all will go well. Monday, April 20th. We had plowing done. Made beds to put my flowers sent from Battle Creek. Sowed peas of a nice quality. I was busy indoors and out all day, and was tired all the time. Besides all that, I suppose you had to be the nurse when your family got sick? Many years ago, 1865, my husband broke down in mind and body and was unable to do anything. My friend said to me, "Mrs. White, your husband cannot live." I determined to remove him to a place more favorable for his recovery. His mother said, "Ellen, you must remain and take care of your family." "Mother," I replied, "I will work with God, and God will work with me." I pulled up my rag carpets and sold them. With the money, I bought a covered wagon and prepared for the journey, placing in the wagon a mattress for Father to lie on. Accompanied by Willie, a lad 11 years of age, we started. While on the journey, Willie tried to put the bits into the mouth of one of the horses, but found that he could not. I said to my husband, "Put your hand on my shoulder, and come and put the bits in." He said that he did not see how he could. "Yes, you can," I replied. "Get right up and come." He did so, and succeeded in putting the bits in. Then he knew that he would have to do it the next time, too. "You were a real up-to-date nurse, keeping your patient active." I kept my husband working at such little things. I tried to keep him active. Often, brethren came to us for counsel. My husband wanted to see no one. But before he could realize that anyone had come, I brought the visitor before him and would say, "Husband, here is a brother who has come to ask a question, and as you can answer it much better than I can, I have brought him to you." He had to remain in the room and answer the question. Daily, my husband went out for a walk. In the winter, a terrible snowstorm came, and Father thought he would not go out in the storm and snow. I went to Brother Root and said, "Brother Root, have you a spare pair of boots?" "Yes," he answered. "I should be glad to borrow them this morning," I said. Putting on the boots and starting out, I tracked a quarter of a mile in the deep snow. On my return, I asked my husband to take a walk. He said he could not go out in such weather. "Oh, yes, you can," I replied. "Surely you can step in my tracks." When he saw my tracks, he thought that if a woman could walk in that snow, he could. That morning, he took his walk. In the spring, there were fruit trees to be set out and garden to be made. "Willie," I said, "please buy 3 hoes and 3 rakes. Be sure to buy 3 of each. When he brought them to me, I told him to take one of the hoes and Father another. Father objected, but took one. Taking one myself, I began work, and although I blistered my hands, I led them in the hoeing. Father could not do much, but he went through the motions. I always took my husband with me when I went out driving, and I took him with me when I went to preach at any place. After many months, I said to him, "Now, my husband, you are going into the desk today." He did not want to go. I took him up into the desk with me. That day, he spoke to the people. My heart was overflowing with joy. After 18 months, I took him home again. Presenting him to his parents, I said, "Father, mother, here is your son."
"Ellen," said his mother, "you have no one but God and yourself to thank for this."
My husband lived for a number of years, during which time he did the best work of his life. Was anyone in your family healed by prayer? In the winter of 1864, my Willie was suddenly brought down with lung fever, pneumonia. We were very anxious, fearing that he might die. We decided that we would do the best we could with him ourselves by the use of water and entreat the Lord in behalf of the child. The next day, Willie was very sick. He did not seem to see or hear me when I spoke to him. His heart had no regular beat. We had but little rest during his sickness. My husband spent much time in prayer. Suddenly, his burden of prayer left him, and it seemed as though a voice spoke to him and said, "Go lie down. I will take care of the child." I could not sleep for several hours. I arose and opened the door into a large hall and soon slept. I dreamed that an experienced physician was standing by my child, with one hand over his heart and with the other feeling his pulse. He turned to us and said, "He has seen his worst night. He needs air. You have kept him too warm." We found in the morning that our boy seemed to be in a high fever until noon. Then the fever left him, and he appeared quite well, except weak. He had eaten but one small cracker through his 5 days' sickness. He came up rapidly and has had better health than he has had for several years before. When you had children living in your home, did you teach them to work? When children were sent into my family to board, and they would say,
My mother does not want me to do my washing. I would say, well, shall we do it for you and charge you $50 more for your board? Oh no, mother doesn't want to pay any more for me. Well then, I would say, you may get up in the morning and do it for yourself. God never designed that you should be waited upon by us. Instead of your mother getting up and getting breakfast in the morning while you lie in bed, you should be the one to say, Mother, don't you get up in the morning. We will take hold of these burdens and perform these duties. You should let those whose hairs are growing gray take their rest in the morning. How can I help my mother? Children and youth should be missionaries at home by doing those things that need to be done and that someone must do. You do not think that washing dishes is pleasant work, yet you would not like to be denied the privilege of eating food that has been placed on those dishes. Do you think that it is more pleasant work for your mother to do those things than it is for you? Are you willing to leave what you consider a disagreeable task for your careworn mother to do while you play the lady? There is sweeping to be done. There are rugs to take up and shake, and the rooms are to be put in order. Have you considered how many times mother has to attend to all these household duties while you are excused to attend school or amuse yourself? It is difficult for a loving mother to urge her children to help her when she sees they have no heart in the work. Children and youth, Christ is looking upon you. Your first duty is to help your mother, who has done so much for you. Lift her burdens, give her pleasant days of rest. The time has come for you to shed sunshine in the home. Take up your duty, go right to work. It has been her delight to wait on you, to cook for you, to serve you. Mother needs change and rest. Her children should seek to bring brightness and love into her life. Do they neglect their Savior as they neglect their mother? The Spirit came in childhood and pleaded, "Let me in." But ah, the door was bolted by heedlessness and sin. "Oh, I'm too young," the child cried. "My heart is closed today." Sadly, the Spirit listened, then turned and went his way. Youthful friends, you are to be laborers together with God. Were there any needy people around in those days? Did you do Dorcas work? Monday, January 3rd, 1859. Paid Widow Cranson $1 for making a couple of shirts. Paid Sister Bognes $1 for making a coat. She was unwilling to take it, but I felt it duty to hand it to her. She is poor and sickly. May the Lord pity and care for her. Said Jesus, "The poor always ye have with you." May the Lord rid us of selfishness.
Thursday, January 6th. Give Agnes a half-worn dress for her mother. They are poor. The husband and father is sick. Their crops have failed. They have breadstuff to buy and nothing to buy with. Agnes is their main support. She is only 17. There are 4 children now at home. They must suffer unless the church interests themselves in their behalf. May the Lord have mercy upon the needy. Tuesday, March 8th. Brother John Andrews comes up to visit us in the eve. Get together a few things for him to take home. Send Angeline a new calico dress, 9 shillings, and a stout pair of calfskin shoes. Father gives the making of the shoes and the making of a pair of boots for Brother John Andrews. I send the little boy a nice little flannel shirt and yarn to knit him a pair of stockings. I send Sister or Mother Andrews a nice large cape, well wadded, for her to wear. I made a bag to put them in of towel cloth. Did your boys enjoy helping others too? Thursday, March 10th, 1859. Walked to the city and back. In the afternoon, Sister Irving came in. She looked sad and appeared to be chilled. Agnes cried out,
"Ma, tell me how Pa is."
Her mother told her he was failing slowly. "For 10 weeks, the daughter has lived with us, and we have paid her 9 shillings, $2.25, a week. All but $1 of this she has handed to her mother. Her clothes are poor, yet she forgets herself in her self-sacrifice to her parents. We aided them some, paid half toward a pair of boots for a little brother. $1. I paid $1.50 for a pair of shoes for the mother. Husband gave her $1 in money. Henry gave her 10 cents, Edson 10 cents, and little Willie 10. We sent a little handful of dried apples for the sick one's table. The boys. On Sabbath morning, everyone in the White household was up early, getting ready for church. Henry and Edson, the big boys, helped their little brother, Willie. Over his white, ruffled shirt, they made sure that the 10 buttons on his jacket were all doing their duty inside the buttonholes. When ready, the 3 boys, hair in place, white-collared, Sabbath suits pressed, shoes gleaming, Bibles under their arms, walked to the meeting house, followed by their parents. Usually the family could not sit together. Nearly always, James was on the platform, and sometimes Ellen. Perhaps the boys occupied the front pew. If they whispered or became restless, they might feel the eyes of the congregation fixed reprovingly upon them. The white boys. Did they understand the special work of their father and mother? Only too well they knew about the long hours of work, the traveling, the counseling. And they had to say so many goodbyes to their parents at the beginnings of long trips among the churches. Left at home with Jenny Frazier or Clarissa Bonfoy, Adventist girls who assisted in the home, or staying temporarily at the homes of kind friends, the boys knew the meaning of loneliness. But one bright Sabbath morning, the whole family was together, up early and on their way to church. Close your eyes. You will see them walking along the path to the Battle Creek Meeting House. Henry, Edson, and Willie, followed by James and Ellen, arm in arm. A happy Adventist family.